We're on Daf Nun Beis Omid Beis, the first of the two Mishnayos, Mitzvos HaNe'erogim. Now we're talking about Saif. Mitzvos Saif is otherwise known as Mitzvos Hereg. What's the procedure? Ha'imantizin es rosho b'Saif kiderech shamalchus osa. Kohenim Chachamim, despite the fact that the Goyim, the governments of Goyim they're condemned for capital punishment to death in the same way, we're going to do it because, as we'll soon see in the Gemara, they're imitating us, we're not imitating them. That's the Chiddush of Kiderech Shamalchus Osa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nivul Hulo, which the Gemara is going to explain, that we do not imitate the Goyim B'chukosem Lo Teilech El Menichem Es Rosh Al Sadan V'kotzeitz V'kofitz, but rather we kill him with an axe, we chop his head off with an axe. Omru Lo, the Chacham say, Ein Misa Minuveles Mizu. This is a very despicable kind of way of putting a person to death. And now the Gemara quotes a brisa which records the dialogue, the give and take between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And in this dialogue, in the brisa, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, he admits that this is the way I suggested by chopping his head off with an axe, ani yodea. I also agree that that's a misa minuveles. We're not allowed to imitate the goyim. But the rabbanan say that it says saif in the Torah, and we have to do it the best way possible. That's baruch misa yofa. And lo minay kagurina, we're not imitating them, but on the contrary, they're imitating us. What about the halach in the brisa of sorfin al hamalachim v'lo midarchei amori? We burn the articles of the deceased kings, and this we derive from Tanakh with regarding Tzidkio HaMelech, and that's explicit in the Psukim in Yirmiyo HaMelech. So we are not imitating the Goyim when we take the king's articles after his death and we burn them. They're imitating us, and all this we discussed yesterday. So the Gemara now asks the following question: V'hadisnan biduch pirkin eluhem hanerogim harotzech v'anshei ir hanidachas. The chiyuv of misa saif applies in rotzech and anshei ir hanidachas. The Gemara says, "Bishleim, I understand the ir hanidachas." There says l'fi charev, it's explicit that we kill him by the sword, but rotzech minayin. And the Gemara quotes a brisa that we learn it from the word nikima, nakom yinakim. And that's the case of a person who puts his death, he puts his slave to death, an Eved Kanani. And I don't know what the word yinake means. What kind of misa do we put to the murderer to death? The Adon, if he killed his Eved, or whoever killed the Eved. But Kshu Omer, when the Pasuk says, Vayvesi Aleichem Cherev Nokemes Nekam Bris, it's explicit that we're talking about a misa of Cherev, in the context of Nekom, Nokemes, Nekima, and that's in part of Vayikra Chavav. Harezu Nekima Zu Saif. Then the Gemara raised the possibility that maybe we'd kill him by stabbing him, and we discussed this in the previous Shia, and the Gemara wants to know, can we derive Ben Chorin, if somebody kills not an Eved of Ben Chorin, can we derive that certainly he should be put to death with Saif? And the Gemara says that indeed we need a special derivation, Nafkele mi debraisa. Now we're up to the new sugya for today. We'll start with the Mishnah Mitzvahs Hanechnokim. And we're talking about Chenek. There's a machlokis whether or not Chenek is the Kal Shebemisos. If we go with the order of Skila, Sreifa, Herig, V'chenek, Chenek is on the bottom of the list. Mashakin Oso Bezevel Adar Kavosov. This we've already seen previously, that they wanted to guarantee that he wouldn't move around and jump around, and therefore they would submerge him in Zevel all the way up to his Arkavosov, to his knees. And this would make sure that the process would go smoothly and there would be no extension of his agony. And then they also took care of no saying Sudar Kashal Utoch Haraka, the Korech Al Tzavaro, in order to strangle him. They made sure that there wouldn't be a hard scar, a coarse hard scarf directly on his neck, because that again would cause nevel, would cause him to undo injuries to his neck. So therefore they wrapped the coarse scarf inside a soft one, so directly on his neck was the soft one. And now the two witnesses are going to put him to death. Zemoshech Etzlo v'Zemoshech Etzlo. Each witness pulls the scarf towards himself, Ad Shenafsho Yotzeis, until he dies. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Ish Prat Lekatan. When it says in the Pasuk, Asher Yinaf Es Eishes Ish, so we're talking about the case of a person who has an adulterous relationship with a married woman, and in such a case, the Boel, the Nevelis, are both Chayev Misas Chenek, and the Torah says that it's got to be Eishes Ish. The word Ish is always a word that comes to be Mavai to exclude a katon. This is all in Vayikra Per Kaf. Ish Prat L'Katon. It means that if she is married to a katon, we'll have to see what that means. What does it mean for her to be married to a katon? Maybe it's a case of Yibum, perhaps, where she fell for Yibum, and the Yovam was a katon. Whether or not the Bias Yovam makes her into an Eishes Ish or not is Machlokes. Asher Yinaf Es Eishes Ish Prat L'Eishes Katon. And then the Pasuk says Eishes Re'ehu. Eishes Re'ehu Prat L'Eishes Acherim. This is coming to exclude the case of Eishes Acherim. Acherim here is a reference to a non-Jew. So we're talking about a Jewish woman who's married to a non-Jew, and the Braisa tells us that she's not called an Eishes Ish because the Halacha doesn't recognize the legality of a marriage between a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man. So if she has Bia with another Jew, that's not called Bias Eishes Ish because she's not married in a legal sense. Now, you might argue also if she's married to a minor, into a katan, then there's no possibility of her being an Eishes Ish. Why do we need the pasuk Ish to exclude Eishes Katan? And perhaps the answer is that although there's not a legal marriage, we might think that, as we mentioned before, perhaps in the case of Yibum, that would be enough to create an Eishes Ish relationship. Or perhaps we might suggest that if he's a Ben Tess and he's royal with Bia, then maybe we have to put her to death. And, well, the question here is, we'll get to it later, if there's a Havmina that we would put the child to death. In any event, it says Mos Yumas Bechenek Ata Omer Bechenek O Eino El Biachas Mikol Misos Hamuris Betorah. How do you know that when it says in the Pasuk Mos Yumas, it's referring to Chenek? And the Gemara is going to give a number of answers to this question. Maybe Mosimas means any of the other methods of putting a person to death. And the answer is, Amrit, we say, Kol Mokum Shenemar Misa B'Torah Stam. If the Torah says, put someone to death with Misa, Einata Rashoy L'Moshcha L'Hachmir Le L'Hakil Leha, we should be, this is Rav Yoshio, we should be putting that person to death with the most lenient of all deaths. So if you have a choice, which of the deaths, so we say that you have to give him the least severe death, and in this case that would refer to Chenek. Okay, we'll have to go over this one more time, because Rav Yonasan has a different approach, as we'll soon see. So Rav Yonasan Omer, he has a different approach. How do we derive the Misa of Chenek? And he says the following. Lo mipnei shehi kala, it's not because, as Rabbi Yoshi had said, since we don't know which death to give the capital punishment, so we always give him the lowest one on the list, the easiest one, meaning. Ella, kol misa hamura b'torah stam eino ella chenek. But rather, we derive the conclusion, as we'll soon see, that when it says the word Misa in the Torah, it's a reference to Chenek, to strangulation. Now, Rebbe is quoted here in the Braisa to try to explain Rebbe Yonasan. And he says the following. Rebbe Omer, how do we derive the conclusion that stam miso, whenever the Torah doesn't tell us exactly what death to put him on, then it means chenek, it means strangulation. And the answer is that Rabbi Yonasan derives it from a yalfusa. What's the yalfusa? Nemar miso bidei shamayim. The Torah says that there's such a thing as premature death, when God meets out punishment and he takes a person's life before his time. That's based on a pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Lamed Ches, Vayomas Gam Oso. This is in the parish of Er Vionon, if you happen to remember. So that's called a Misa Bidei Shomayim, when the Torah, when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the life of a person prematurely. V'nemar Misa, and it says Mos Yumas Bidei Adam, referring to Bezdin, to put someone to death for a capital crime. Ma Misa Hamura Bidei Shomayim Misa Shein Bar Roshem, Af Misa Hamura Bidei Adam Misa Shein Bar Roshem. The Gemara thinks that the method by which we can put a criminal to death in Beis Din that's most similar to Misa B'dei Shamayim is Ein Bo Roshem. Ein Bo Roshem means you don't change the physicality of the person, you just remove his neshama, his life force. Now, how do we put a person to death in a way that's similar to Misa B'dei Shamayim, in which we just remove his neshama, but his goof, his body, remains unaffected? Ein bo roshem. You can't see any sign on his body that he was put to death. And the answer is strangulation. When you strangle a person in such a way that he cannot breathe, his neshama leaves him, but his goof is ein bo roshem.
Pardon me, well, didn't she just say that by fire, by drinking the hot lead, your body was not destroyed?
Excellent, David. That's, you could have written the next two words in the Gemara. I want to get your autograph after the shiur. The Ema, Srefa, if you're talking about leaving the body intact, what about Srefa? Because we said that the lead, the molten lead is poured inside her mouth, and in such a case, her body is not affected. Again, you might argue that her insides are affected, but at least on the outside, it looks like
Ein Bo Roshem.
It looks like Ein Bo Roshem. So the Gemara answers Midika Omar Rachmana Bas Kohen Bisrefa. The case in which we put a capital crime to death is the case of an Ashes Ish, which is an adultery relationship with a woman who's not a Bas Kohen. And since the Torah went out of its way to tell us that Dafka and Ashes Bas Kohen, right, and a Bas Kohen Shezinsa, she is put to death by Srefa, which was the discussion that we had yesterday. Michlal, it must mean that had she not been a Bas Kohen, Daha means in reference to a Bas Yisrael who's not a Bas Kohen, Lav Bas Srefa. She doesn't get Srefa. If she would get Srefa, even though she's not a Bas Kohen, then the Torah wouldn't have to bother telling me that a Bas Kohen has to get Srefa. So this is what we call Michal Lava Tashmeh Hain. In other words, Michal Hain Atashmeh Lav, actually. That from the fact that the Torah tells me that a Bas Kohen gets Srefa, it means that a Bas Yisrael does not get Srefa. And the only two possible misos, the Gemara thinks, where you could put someone to death and the body is not marked, it's not Oseh Boroshem, is either Chenek or Srefa. So if we exclude Srefa, then by process of elimination, what do we have? We have Chenek. So this is all an explanation of Rabbi Yonasan, that Rebbe gave an explanation for Rabbi Yonasan, that Stam Miso, whenever it says Miso in the Torah, it's a reference to Chenek. And now we're turning to Daf Nun Gimel Amud Al, which
unless
is
unless it says otherwise.
So that's the daf for today that we're meant to start. I just wanted to fill in a little bit from yesterday's daf that we didn't finish. So the Gemara says the following: in the case of Rabbi Yonasan, Rebbe has given us a valid explanation for his presentation, his shita. Bishleima, we can understand Rabbi Yonasan. Kidikal Mafarish, Rebbe Taima. Rebbe already gave us his explanation that Stam Misa must be a reference to Chenek. El Rav Yoshia. Rav Yoshia was the one who said that we have to choose the most lenient Misa. Notice if you have various candidates and you don't know which Misa to give, we have to mete out the lightest punishment. That's called V'ahavta L'recha Kamocha Bror Lo Misa Yofa. And on the list, Chenek is on the bottom because we start with Skila, then we go down to Srefa, Hereg, and all the way on the bottom is Chenek. Right? So El Rav Yoshia, Mimai De'ika Chenek Ba'olam. Now I agree that Rav Yoshia is of the opinion that of the four misos, if I grant you that there are four possible capital punishments to mete out, then Chenek is on the bottom of the list. Not everybody agrees with that, but at least Rav Yoshia is free to accept that view. But how did you know that Chenek was on the list? Show me some sort of source in the Torah that Chenek is recognized by the Torah. Maybe we should kill him by shooting him. I don't know. Take a knife and kill him, or shoot an arrow at him. I don't know. You know, there are many different possibilities. So the Gemara says, Amos Sayif. And not only that, the Torah has already recognized Misa Sayif. That's Mefurish in the Pasuk. It says, Bacherev, that we put him to death by sword. So that maybe we should say that Sayif is the most lenient of all the deaths. Why? And this we discussed yesterday, that when they behead a person, he immediately dies. So Chenek is also pretty immediate, but maybe it takes a few extra seconds. Maybe the agony is that much more intense. So Mimarashach, I don't understand how Rav Yoshia derives the conclusion that if it says Misa, it's a reference to Chenek. If you're telling me because it's the easiest Misa on the list, well, how do you know it's even on the list? And even if it is on the list, maybe Saif, which is called Hereg, maybe that's a lighter punishment. It's very difficult to know which is lighter than which. You know, you could argue in so many different ways. You know,
trying to help.
Yeah, there's no. The Gemara has him, except the Gittin, in the case of someone who actually committed suicide with all four Mises Bezdin. The Gemara describes how he arranged such a thing. Anyway, Omar Rava, are the Misos, the four Misos that we have, Gemara Gmiralu, this is all based on Torah Shebal Peh, what we call Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So we know that there are four mizos. So the Gemara says, "My lo mipnei shehi kala." Now, what we're saying is that Rabbi Yonatan seems to disagree because he's not based on the position of this misa being a misa kala. So the Gemara says, "Kam miflugi beplugta de Rav Shimon v'Rabbanon." This is a machlokes back in the third parak where the Gemara has two opinions as to what misa is more kal. And the machlokes is whether saif is more kal, and if this is Rav Shimon shita that saif is more kal. And the Rabbanan say, no, the Chenek is more kal.
Is that the last on the list?
And that's the last on the list according to the Chachamim. Rav Shimon changes the order of the list. And he has on the bottom of the list, Saif. So again, the Gemara says, my, what did it mean, what did he mean, Rav Yonasan, when he said, lo mipnei shehi kala? In other words, he was disagreeing with the logic. I apologize again, I still haven't been able to find the Gemara. I didn't make a bracha because I'm not drinking because I'm thirsty. It's just okay. So again, according to Rabbi Yonasan, we're saying that he has to give some sort of explanation as to why he understands that when it says Misa in the Torah, it's a reference to Chenek, and he's not willing to accept Rabbi Yoshaya. Again, Rabbi Yoshaya was the one who said that since we don't know which Misa to give, we give him the lightest Misa, which is Chenek. Why was it that Rabbi Yonasan didn't buy into the explanation, to the logic of Rabbi Yoshaya? Rabbi Yoshaya's logic seems to be compelling, that Chenek is on the bottom of the list. And the answer is, because he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, fine. Now, the Mishnah later on, which we'll see on the bottom of this page, is going to give us an entire list of all those who are Chayav Skila. So Rav Mosai, at this point, we have to press the return button. It's a new paragraph. We've been talking until now in the Mishnah about Misas Chenek, strangulation. Now the Gemara makes an abrupt shift without any forewarning, and the Gemara is going to talk about Misas Skila. Okay? And the Mishnah lists all the cases for which you're Chayav Skila. Okay then? You see this Elu Heinan Iskolim. This is the Mishnah we'll get to in a few minutes. There are 18 different categories of violations for which you're Chayav Skila. Okay. Now, how do we know that you're Chayav for a particular violation, Skila? The paradigm case of Skila is called Ov Vidoni. There the Torah says explicitly, Ragmuhu ba'avonim, and he'll die because we stone him. The Gemara is now looking for a possibility to equate all the other ones through what's called Gzeirah Shava, all the other cases of the 18, well, actually 17, because Ov Vidoni is two cases, so the other 16 cases, I should say, to Ov Vidoni. And for this, we're going to have to analyze the language of the Pasuk in Ov Vidoni. There are two parts of the Pasuk which seem to appear over and over again throughout the Torah with regard to various criminal actions. And the Gemara wants to know, is the Gzeirah Shavah to equate all those other cases to Ov Vidoni based on these words in the Pasuk or the other words in the Pasuk? Amalei Rabbi Zera Labaye, Shar HaNiskolim, all the other cases other than Ov Vidoni, the Loksiv Baskila, the Torah doesn't say explicitly that we stole them. How do we know that you stone them? Degamri me Ov Vidoni. We have some sort of Gzeirah Shavah to equate all these cases, the other 16 cases, to Ov Vidoni. Wait, I'm not sure if it's 16. Okay, we'll get to it. I'm not sure if Ovi Doni will go through the numbers in a minute, whether that's counted as one or two. It's not relevant to us now. So the Gemara offers two possibilities to answer the question, B'mai Gomri. Which words in the Pasuk in Ovi Doni are the critical words? What are the two possibilities? B'mos Yumsu, in the case of Ovi Doni, the Torah says Mos Yumsu. We should really open up a chumash here. We'll see if we have a chance to do that. I'm just going to go on for the... Oh, here it is. If you take a look in number 5, he actually quotes the whole verse. So this is by Yirichov. It says, V'ish o isha ki yeh bahem ov o yidoni mos yumsu ba'evin yirgumo sam d'meim bam. So if you take a look, this pasuk has, number 1, mos Yumasu. Okay, there's a comment under the mem. I can't see that. And it also says Dmeyem Bam at the end of the pasuk. And in all the other cases of Chiyuve Skila, we have both Mos Yumasu and we have Dmeyem Bam. So the Gemara asks, B'mai Gamri? Again, this is a conceptual question. The Gemara wants to know, what is the Gzeirah Shava? Is it from Mos Yumsu or Mos Yumasu? Or is it from Dmeyem Bam Gamri? Gamri means we derive. Amalei, so Abaye responds to Rav Zeira, and he says, Dmeyem Bam Gamri. That in all the other cases of Achiv Skila, it says Dmeyem. And why is it impossible, says Abaye, that the Gzeir Shav is based on Mos Yumasu, or Mos Yumsu, to Iba Mos Yumsu Gamri, Dmeyem Lamali? In other words, we're going to find some sort of derivation for Mos Yumsu, which means that if we will, again, I'm just giving you a preview of what's coming around, that if we can't kill him in the Misa Mura, in the specified Misa, we'll kill him in any way we have to. So we know why we need Mos Yumsu, as the Gemara is going to explain later on. But why does it have to say Dmeyem Bam? That is completely superfluous, and it must be there for the Gzeirah Shava. Elamai b'dmeim dmeim gamri. So the Gemara says, if Abai is right that the Gzeirah Shava is based on dmeim, is Mos Yumsu lovely? Can assign you we need it for the price of Mos Yumas Amake Rotseachu. In the case of a murderer, he's going to be chayev skila. And again, as we discussed yesterday, it doesn't matter whether he killed an eved or if he killed a ben chorin. If you remember that sugya that we had. And it says Mos Yumas. Why does the Torah have to repeat Mos Yumas in the case of a murderer? Ainli Elab Misak Suvabo. I would think that we have to put him to death with the specified method of execution. Minayin she'im iatoyochol amisa b'misak suvabo. Let's say the classical case would be somehow he runs out of Bezdin before they're able to kill him. Is minayin, how do we know? Shata mimisa v'chol misa shata yochol amiso. You shoot an arrow at him. How do we know this? Talmud lomer, Mos Yumas, the double language, hamake mikol makom. Mikol makom means in any method that you possibly can. In other words, there are two dinim in putting a capital punishment to death. One is to be makayim, the misa that the Torah specifies. And the other is to put him to death, a more general kind of misa. And that we learn from the double language of Mos Yumas. Therefore, Abai is justified in saying that we need Mos Yumas in the pasuk in Ovi Doni. And therefore, it's not free for the Gzeirah Shava. The Gzeirah Shava is going to be based on Dmehem Bom. Omalei Rav Achmi Difti L'Ravino Ve'iba Mos Yumsu Gamre Maiko Kashale. If Chazal used the Mos Yumsu to teach us that we'll surely put him to death in any method that we possibly can, is then my kokashale. Why did Rav Zera originally attack Abaye? What was bothering him? Why did he say to Abaye that we should derive skila in all the other cases of niskalim from Mos Yumsu? Did he not know this brisa that says we need Mos Yumsu for something else, to teach us b'chol misa? Ilema, perhaps you could suggest that Eishes Ish Kokashile. we had the case of Eishes Ish. And in the case of Eishes Ish, the adultery with a married woman is punishable by chenek, as we said. And yet the Torah says, mos yumos. And therefore, maybe we should say that Eishes Ish should get skila, just like Ovi Doni, it says mos yumso, and you get skila. Lemese ulemigme mos yumos, me ov vidoni, malahalim beskila afkan beskila. So in the case of adultery, instead of putting her to death by chenek, we should put her to death by skila. So the Gemara says that that's impossible. It couldn't have been that that was what bothered Rab Zera when he attacked Abaye. Mida Omar, Rachmana Arusa beskila. The Torah says explicitly that if this woman is married only part way, what does that mean part way? She's an Eishes Ish, and it's an adultery relationship. But she's only an Arusa. Erusin makes her into an Eishes Ish, but she hasn't yet entered into the chuppah, she hasn't had Nisuin yet. It's not a full-fledged marriage as far as Nidorim, as far as Heterbia, as far as Yerusha, and many different dinim. And therefore, if the Torah says that in the case of an Arusa, a person who has a relationship with this Arusa, other than her Arus, is Chayev Skila, it must mean Michlal de Nesua la Veskila. Because if the Torah held that Nesua was Skila, then why would the Torah specify the Arusa? So in other words, we definitely have a... no. There's no Havamina. And you cannot attribute this thought pattern to Rabbi Zera, that he thought that maybe an Eishes Ish should be put to death by Skila. We know that an Arusa is put to death by Skila. An Eishes Ish, meaning after Nisuin, after Chuppah, is certainly not therefore put to death by Skila. So what was bothering Rabbi Zera when he shied away from Abaye's position that we derive all the niskalim from the Gzeres Shava to Dmei Bam?
Why don't we just say, which I think the Gemara says quite often, that although the Amoraim knew all the Mishnayos, they didn't necessarily know all the prices. Therefore, maybe he didn't know that price. I mean, that's the simple answer. That could be a simple answer, couldn't it?
He seems to assume that the answer to your question is in the Yad Ramah. So I don't have access to the Yad Ramah. I think this is a fundamental principle in all Mises Bezdin that's derived from most Yumas. Ella, what was the kasha that bothered Rav Zera? Make oviv v'imo kakashale. The Torah says you have to put to death a person who strikes his father or his mother. Chas v'shalom, right? He wounds his father or his mother. And in this case, he's chayev chenek. That's the Mishnah later on, Elu Hein HaNichnakim. We have here the list of Niskalim. Later on, I think it's the 11th parak, we have the list of Nechnakim, and one of them is Makeh of Vima. And the question is, how do we know that Makeh of Vima is Chayev Chenek? Lemese ulemigmar mi ov vidoni. Why not derive from ov vidoni the conclusion that Make of Vimo, the incorrect conclusion, that Make of Vimo should be Chayev Skila? Because even in the case of Make of Vimo, the Torah
says
Dmei and Bom. Okay, we'll have to
presume that.
We have to presume that for the time being. Okay, so the Gemara says, this is also impossible to assume, because ad degamre me ovidoni ligmaru me eishes ish. You have two choices. You can either say that maka ovimo should be equated to ovidoni, should get skila, or you should derive by comparing maka ovimo to eishes ish, the adultery case, where she gets chenek. And in such a case, when you have two choices, either skila or chenek, which one are you going to have to choose? Chenek, because everybody agrees that chenek is more kal than skila. On that, there's no machlokas. If you have a choice and you don't know which of the two misos to implement, you cannot give the more severe, you have to give the lighter one. And therefore, it's definitely it's definitely conclusive evidence that Maka Ovi V'Imo would be compared to Ovi Doni. I'm sorry, would be compared to Eishes Ish, I meant to say, and the Misa would have to be a Misas Chenek. There's no Havamina that Maka Ovimo would be a Misas Skila, because then in the question, you're being Machmir when you have to be Mekil. Amalei, so there's a discussion here between Ravina and Rav Acha to explain the Kasha of Rav Zera. Shar Haniskolim Gufayu Kokashale. He didn't understand all the niskalim. Why? De'i b'mos yumas gamri, because if the basis for the gzeres shava is are the words mos yumas is ad de gamri mi ovi doni ligmaru mi eishes ish. The case of eishes ish is a chiyuv skila. Why do you choose all the other niskalim and you compare them to ovi doni misa? Is indicated most yumas in all the niskalim, and therefore let's equate all the niskalim to Eishes Ish, where it also says most yumas. Does he quote the pasuk here? No, he doesn't quote the pasuk.
But that Nikatei Shom is not based on most yumas; it's based on demand law.
So that's where Rav Zera was saying. Let's go back to the kasha of Rabbi Zera. Omale Rav Zera Labaye. Sharan is called the Loksiv Beskila. It doesn't say Skila. B'mai Gamri. Is it B'mos Yumas Dmeyem Bom? And Abaye answered him, Dmeyem Bom.
Exactly.
So the Gemara says that. One second. Just give me a minute here, I'm sorry. Oh, so the Gemara says, Ella, my Dmeyem, Dmeyem Gamri, is most Yumsu Lamali. In other words, Rabbi Zera thought that maybe you could derive it from most Yumas, correct?
Right, but then he's told no, it's from Dmeyem.
Right, so the Gemara says, why did he think that you should derive from most Yumas? So that's what the Gemara quotes Ravina to Rav Acha, that. What are we going to do with Shar Haniskolim? Correct? And the possibility was raised that maybe we derive it from most Yumas, and all the Niskolim should be derived from most Yumas. So the Gemara says, Ib most Yumas Gamri is Ad de Gamri mi Ovi Doni Ligmaru mi Eishes Ish. Since Eishes Ish is put to death by Chenek, then how do you know on this whole list we should jack up the severity of the onesh from chenek to skila? Maybe we should equate them with Eishes Ish, where the misa is only what? Is only chenek.
So he didn't hold of the gezeirah shalom.
Right. All right, let's go on, because Eloheina Niskolim, now we have a list of 18 cases in which Yechayev Skila, Haba Al Ha'em, if he has a relationship with his mother, V'al Eishes Av, or with the wife of his father. Now in most cases, the wife of his father is his mother, but there are some cases in which the wife of his father is not his mother. Right? So let's say his father had a second marriage. So she's prohibited to him b'toras eishes av. The Gemara is going to later on discuss the machlokes, what happens in the case of his mother, his biological mother. She's at the same time his mother, and she's also his father's wife. So should there be a double chiyuv, which means in the case of shogeg, he should bring two chatos. That's going to be machlokas later on. V'ala kala. Now in the case of kala, once again, you could raise the question, this is an overlap of two ervas, because on the one hand, this woman is married to his son, but on the other hand, she's a married woman, she's an Eishes Ish. And in all these cases, we're going to discuss whether or not there's, you know, whether there's a possibility of establishing a kala erva even after the death of the Kala's husband, meaning there's no longer an Iser Eish Hashish, but there might still be an Iser Kala. Then there's Viala Zachur, there's a case of a homosexual relationship. Viala Behema, this is, I think, what they call today in fancy English, sodomy, if I'm not mistaken. Va'isha Beviasa Behema, or the woman who has a relationship with Behema. So it's either a man who has a relationship with Behema, or a woman who has a relationship with Behema. Va'magadev. Va'oved Avodas Kochav. Interesting. Magadev is a separate category. He doesn't accept any other gods upon himself. So he's not violating the Isra of Avodah Zarah. He's not worshipping any other deities. But he's cursing God. And then we have Hanosei Mizara LaMolech. Now Molech was a particular type of Avodah Zarah. So the question I want to raise with you, I don't have an answer right now, is why does the Mishnah categorize Zaro, no saying Zaro Lamolech, has a separate category. L'chora, it's already been categorized. This is just another form of Avodah Zarah. Oh, he has a note on this? Yes. What number is it? I didn't have an art scroll when I prepared the Shia.
That is 20.
Number 20. So apparently, there are two opinions as to whether Molech is considered a deity or not. All right, Ubal Ovi Doni. Here he seems to categorize them as one Avera, Ovi Doni. Okay. Mamakalas a Shabbos. He's also Chayv Skila. You've already learned a lot about Skila, right? Whether it's one stone, many stones, and who pushes him off, and did he die when you pushed him off? But Mekalel Aviv Imo. Now we have the case of Mekalel. Mekalel Aviv Imo. So before we had Megadev. Now we have Mekalel Aviv Imo. Habal Nara Hamu Urasa. Again, if she's in a Sua, then there's a Chiyuv. But if she's a Nara Murasa, then it's Skila. Vamidiach. I'm sorry, Amesis Vamidiach. Now here is very strange. The Mishnah categorizes Mesis and Mediach as two separate cases. What's actually Mesis and what's actually Mediach? In one case, there's a seduction, so to speak, for Avodah Zarah to an individual. In other words, Reuven influences, allures Shimon, that's called the Mesis, to worship Avodah Zarah. In the case of Mediach, he causes a situation of Ira Nidachas, which means that he has an influence, an impact on the entire city. Or actually, Rov Ha'ir. He says here that later on the Gemara is going to talk about why these are two individual cases. Hamachashev, which also includes a machshefa, it doesn't matter whether it's a male or a female, you have to know about Kishuv. And then we have Ben Sorer Morer, and he's also put to death by Skila. So this is the list of Niskalim.
It seems that the Baal over Yidoni is regarded as one.
It's counted as one. So I mentioned before it's counted as two, but you can see from the language of the Mishnah it's counted as one. Now we get to the issue about Imo that I mentioned before. Habala Aim Chayev Olera Mishum Aim Umishum Eishes Av. The Tanakama is of the opinion that you chayev two chatos in a case of a relationship with his mother. Now, the question is going to arise, what happens if his father is dead? Let's assume that Eishes Av would apply even after the father's death. So his mother is both Aim and Eishes Av at the same time. Is therefore he's Chayev Shtayim. Now this really depends on Masechta Krisus. So we're not learning Masechta Krisus, Baruch Hashem, because that, but there's something called Gufim Michulakim, which means that if you violate two Chiyuve Kares at the same time, when I say at the same time, it means what's called Behele Machas, in other words, the same forgetfulness, then you have to bring two Karbonos, two Chatos, because it's Gufim Michulakim. Here, we're talking about a case of Guf Echad. But the Gemara in Krisus raises the possibility that there's something called Shemos Mechulakim, Beguf Echad. And the most important word, if you had a key word for Masechta Krisus, would be Mechalkim. In other words, Mechalkim means if you violate two different Isurim, that's called a Mechalik. Like, let's say, for example, a person eats Chelev and Dam. So since there's Shemos Mechulakim, he brings two Chatos. But there it was also Gufim Mechulakim. There was Dam and there was Chelev. What happens if he would eat Dam and Chelev as one entity? It's got Shemos Mechulakim, but it's only one Guf. And that's the case of Abal Imo. And according to the Tanakhama, Shemos Mechulakim beGuf Echad is enough to be a Mechalik, and therefore you bring two Chatos. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Even though it's Shemos Mechulakim, he's really violating two Isurim, but Shemos Mechulakim is not enough to be Mechalik and generate two Chatos, because it's one Guf. And therefore, Eino Chayev Ela Mishum Ha'em Bilvad. He's only Chayev for Imo. Then we have the case of Haba al Eshes Av. Okay, now we're talking about a case where there's no relationship of Imo. It's his stepmother, if you could call it that. It's Chayev Mishum Eshes Av Umishum Eshes Ish. Now here, apparently, Rabbi Yehuda, for some reason, agrees that you bring two Chatos, even though, again, it's Guf Echad. So we're going to have to understand why Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama in the case of Eshes Av, where presumably because it's Guf Echad, he only brings one Chatos, and in the case of Eshes Av, assuming that his father is still alive, so she's both an Eshes Ish and the wife of his father, then he has to bring two Chatos, even though it's only one Guf.
So in that case, if you say the father dies, is it still his wife?
Let's assume it's still considered Eshes Av. But in the case of Eshes Ish, once he dies, it's not Eshes Ish. So therefore, what you're left with is only Eshes Av. But as long as the father is alive, you have a double whammy. You're also Eshes Av and also Eshes Ish. Here, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Yechayev Shtayim. And the question is why it's only Guf Echad. Then the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Bein b'chai aviv, bein li achar misas aviv, that the Isur of Eshes Av applies even after the father's death. And that we explained before. But bein min ha'erisin, bein min ha'nesuin, when we talk about Eshes Ish, or for that matter, Eshes Av in this case, what makes this woman marry the married woman of my father? Let's say, for example, my father didn't get to consummate the marriage and take her into the chuppah, there was only Erisin. That's enough to generate the Iser Erva of Eshes Av. And we'll see that the Mishnah is going to repeat itself in the case of Kalosso. Kalosso means that this is the woman that my son married, even if he only married her with Erisin. Habal Kalosso. And once again, here we have an overlap, because there's an Erev of Kala, and also there's an Erev of Eshes Ish, as long as my son is alive. As Chayav Lev Mishum Kalosso Shev Eshes Ish, he's going to have to bring two Chatos, even though it's Guf Echad, for two Shemos. Bein b'chai b'no, bein li achar mises b'no. Once a woman is married to my son, that engenders an erev of kaloso, and it doesn't matter whether my son is alive or not. And bein b'na erisin, bein b'na nesuin. And this applies whether or not my son married this woman with a full-fledged nesuin, or even if he only married her with erisin.
Is there a
Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. I guess I'd like to close the door, but maybe it'll be too hot for us, so you'll decide what you want to do. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo haisa imo re'uya li aviv. Now is an interesting, a fascinating question. What happens if this woman was married to my father in an illegal, illegitimate marriage? The Torah prohibited that marriage, but he went ahead and he married her. And this raises the whole sugya, which is the last perek of Masechta Kiddushin, of whether Kiddushin Tofsin or ain't Kiddushin Tofsin. Meaning, does the Torah recognize the validity of an illegitimate marriage?
It's not Kiddushin then, is it?
Well, the Torah says that you're not allowed to marry her, but he went ahead and he married her. So is she Eishes Aviv or is she not Eishes Aviv? That's one of the most complicated sugyas in Masechta Kiddushin. It appears also in Masechta Yevamos. So the Braisa quotes Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im lo haisa ima ru'yala aviv. If this woman was married to her father in an illegitimate marriage, is eino chayef ela mishum ha'em bilvat. So this man's mother, who he had a relationship with, was illegitimately married to the father. The Chachamim are saying that in a normal case, he has to bring two chatos because she's both Emo and Eishes Aviv, but here she's not considered Eishes Aviv, says Rabbi Yehuda, because it's an illegitimate marriage. My Eino Re'uyalo. What does it mean that this marriage is prohibited? How severe of a prohibition was it? We have many different categories. We have Chayvei Misa, Chayvei Krisus, and we have Chayvei Lavim, and we have Chayvei Esei. There are many, many different. So Elam, if it's talking about a case of Chayvei Krisus for Chayvei Misa's Bezdin, in such a case, where the violation is a very severe violation, then ain kiddushin tofsin. Then Rabbi Yehuda should be absolutely correct that this is not Eishes Aviv, because there's no legitimate marriage here. Again, when I say there's no legitimate marriage, meaning there's no validity to the marriage. The marriage is completely meaningless. Is Michal Drabonin Savri Afal Gav Deino Ru'uyalo? Is it possible that the Chachamim say that even in this case, he, the son, has to bring two chatos? There's no valid marriage here between his mother and his father. Halesle Kiddushin B'Gava, the Torah doesn't validate such a marriage. Ella, it must be a case of Chayvei Lavim. And Rabbi Yehuda says that even in Chayvei Lavim, for example, Grusha LeKohen is a classical case of Chayvei Lavim, the Torah doesn't validate that marriage, and therefore she's not considered Eishes Aviv. You drop the ball on Eishes Aviv, and you're left with Imo. This is the famous sheet in Rabbi Akiva. We don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva in this case. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion in Masechta Kiddushin and also in Yevamos that ain kiddushin tofsin b'chayvei lavim. That the Torah doesn't recognize the validity of a marriage which was prohibited just with a lav. And now we're going to line up Rabbi Yehuda with the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. And ain't kiddushin tosin b'chayv elav, and therefore there's no eishes av here. Just 1 second. Now, there's an important Rashi here, which he mentions in footnote number 33, that this braisa has a different version of Rabbi Yehuda regarding the issue of a double, two shemos with guf echad in the case of Imo, whether he's chayev also for Eishes Aviv. Our Mishnah records Rabbi Yehuda saying you're only chayev one, but this price is assuming that Rabbi Yehuda accepted, is a different version of Rabbi Yehuda, the sheet is chachomim, and he's chayev two. Masiv Rav Yoshia asked Akasha. And this kasha is going to attack the explanation that the Gemara offered. Isur mitzvah v'isur kedusha. Okay, now what happens if there's a marriage relationship between, we'll call it Reuven and Leah, And this relationship is called an Iser Mitzvah or an Iser Kedusha. We'll see exactly what those two, there's going to be a gigantic machlokus, what those two categories refer to. But in any event, the bottom line is there's an illegitimate relationship here between Reuven and Leah. Now Reuven dies without any children. And he has a brother named Shimon. And the question is, does Shimon have to do chalitza? Yibum is out of the question because the mitzvah of Yibum doesn't apply in a case where the original marriage was illegitimate. But there's a possibility of Yibum.
Chalitza.
I'm sorry, of chalitza. And that's what this Mishnah, he points out that this Mishnah is on Daf Chaf in Masechta Yevamos. That's one of the most profound sugyas in Masechta Yevamos, on Daf Chaf. Iser mitzvah, the Iser kedusha, choltzos, the lo misyabmos. There's no possibility of yibum, and this is a long discussion in Masechta Yevamos, but there's a requirement of chalitza. Let's turn now to Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. What is Iser mitzvah, and what is Iser kedusha? So the Gemara now is going to quote that part of the Mishnah which reflects the sheet of the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree. Okay, if we had a blackboard, this was a whiteboard, but we don't have time. I would chart this out for you. So, according to the Mishnah, the Tanakhama, Iser Mitzvah is Shnios Midivrei Sofrim. So, let's say, for example, a relationship between a grandson and his grandmother, that would be called Shnios. That's only Derabbanan. And the Torah says you have to live up to the mandate of the Chachamim, and that's the pasuk of Asisa Kechal Asher Yerucha, Mitzvah Lishma V'Divrei Chachamim. That's called Isurei Mitzvah. V'amai Karle Isurei Mitzvah Shemitzvah Lishma L'Divrei Chachamim. What's Isur Kedusha? What's an Isur that's generated by Kedusha? Almana L'Kohen Gadol. It means that because of his special kedusha as a Kohen Gadol, the Torah prohibits him from marrying a woman who's already been married. Or, alternatively, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedjot, there too, it's the status of kedusha regarding the Kohen that engenders these isurim of grusha. And whenever it says grusha, it mentions chalutza. That's agavur. Chalutza is only drabbanon, but... Because the Torah says that Kohanim have a special kedusha so far as they have special mitzvos and unique isurin. But we have a brisa that adds a comment to that, is attached as a comment to that Mishnah in Masechta Yevamos. Rabbi Yehuda Machlif. Rabbi Yehuda switches it around. What we said was an Iser Mitzvah, that's Iser Shnios, he calls Iser Kedusha. Because anyone who listens to the Gzeros Chachamim is considered a Kadosh. And what we said is an Iser Mitzvah, that's not Shnios Larayos, but rather that's going to be the Iser Kuhun. Chilufehu de Machlif. So he switches it around. Ha Chalitza Boy. But in both of these categories, even in the case of a Kohen to a Grusha, he agrees that she requires Chalitza. If you're attaching Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Akiva, that means Ein Kedusha Tosu B'Chayvei Lavin. Michli Chayvei Lavin Rabbi Akiva Kechayvei Krisus Domi. Right? Just as Chayvei Krisus, there's no Kedusha Tosu, there's no validity to the marriage, so too there's no validity to marriage in Chayvei Lavin. Is Chayvei Krisus Lavin a Chalitza V'Yibum? There's no Chalitza in the case where there was no marriage relationship. Reuven was not married in a Torah valid marriage to Leah because of the fact that Reuven is a Kohen and Leah is a Grusha. And Ein Kedushin Tovsim Mechayvei Lavim according to Rabbi Akiva. So how could Rabbi Yehuda agree in this brisa that there is chalitza if there's no zikas yibum, there was no marriage, and there's no chalitza? And the Gemara answers L'dvar of the Tanakama Ka'amar. It's not that he accepts the view that in the case of a Kohen to a Grusha, there is a requirement of chalitza. There's no requirement of chalitza because ain kedushin tovsim mechayve lavim. But according to you, the chacham, that you reject Rabbi Akiva and you hold kedushin tovsim mechayve lavim is leilo sfirale. He himself never accepted that shita that ain, that there is a valid kedushin and chayve lavim. But he was attacking the chachamim and pointing out that you're using the wrong terminology to classify chayve lavim in this case. Chayve lavim is not called iser kedusha, but rather iser mitzvah. Ki osar Rabbi Yitzchak tani kisnan. Rabbi Yitzchak came and he accepted the presentation of our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Chayve L'mishuma Ein Balvad against the Braisa, that the Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if there's an overlap between Aim and Ashes of, if he only has to bring one Chatos against the Tanakhama.
Rabbi, who made these expressions, Isu Lavim and Isu Kedushahu? Because somebody made them, and he had this disagreement.
It's part of Torah Shebal Peh. I can't tell you exactly who, but if you take a look at footnote number 5, he says that Almana Lekohen Gadol, or Kohen Hedjet Lagrusha, is called Iser Mitzvah. And why is it called Iser Mitzvah? Because the introduction to the parsha of in Emor of Araya of Iser Kuhun, it says Eileh HaMitzvos. So he, Rabbi Yehuda, wanted to use this phrase, this categorization, as a way of teaching a person that in the Torah, this parsha is called Eile HaMitzvos. And this mitzvah is a result of the Kedusha. So the Chachamim say, since this mitzvah is a result of Kedusha, we'll call it Iser Kedusha. And Rabbi Yehuda wants to refer to the Pasuk itself, which calls it Eile HaMitzvos, and therefore it's classified as Iser Mitzvah. The time of my, according to our Mishnah, why does Rabbi Yehuda insist that there's only one Chatos in the case of Imo, who's also Eshes Aviv? Omar Abaye, the Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Imcha hi. There are two extra words in the Pasuk. Imcha hi, that's called a miut. And what's this miut coming to exclude? Mishum Imo atomachayvo. Vi atomachayvo mishum Eshes Aviv. The Torah wants to say that, again, this is Abai's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, that in the case of Imo, you're chayev for Imo, but you're not chayev for any other erva, even though there's an overlap here of the erva of Eshes Av. So the Gemara is not happy with Abai's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. If you, Abai, are correct, then what is about the next pasuk? The next pasuk says, "Ervas eishes avicha lo segala, ervas avicha hi." Now, just like in the previous pasuk, it said the words "imcha hi." Here it says "avicha hi." Ervas avicha hi. Why not use the same parallel drasha and say "mishum eishes av atomachayvo ve'i atomachayvo"? Mishum Imo. Then maybe we'll say the exact opposite. The Torah says, and adds a special, when it gets to Eishes Av, it adds the extra words, Avicha Hi. And we're going to say that you're only chayav for, you know, if you have a relation with your mother, you're only chayav for the erev of Eishes Av. Ela Imo Shehi Eishes Aviv. Again, this is all part of the Gemara's Kasha. We're going to have to talk about a case where this woman is both Imo and Eishes Aviv at the same time. Is then we're in a very strange bind over here, because as far as the Erev of Imo is concerned, we have the pasuk that says Avicha Hu, and I'm sorry, Avicha Hi, Eishes Avicha Hi. So that's going to exclude Imo. And as far as the Erev of Eishes Av, according to Abai's logic, we're going to exclude that under the pasuk of Imo Hi. It's going to come out that in this case of an overlap, he's not chayav anything. He's not chayav at all. Koy hacham emaitle, koy hacham emaitle. On both sides, you're going to have this mute. Is hashta Imo she'ena Eishes Aviv mechayev? Well, just one second. I lost the trend here. Just one second. Oh, this is the end of the kasha. Yeah. Hashta imo she'ena eshes aviv mechayev. Right? The only time the Torah excluded imo is when she's also at the same time eshes aviv. So if she was only imo and she wasn't eshes aviv, right? She wasn't eshes aviv, right? She was married to another man. Then in such a case, he would be chayev a karbon chatos for imo. Correct? And if it's Ashes of Shaina Imo, right, it's if his father married a second marriage, is Mechayev certainly, in this case we don't have the miut, the miut is only in the overlap, therefore he's Chayev. But Imo, she Ashes of it, when we have the overlap, and she's both his mother and his father's wife, Lo Mechayev Klal, that's impossible. Visu, and furthermore, the Rabbanan Nami Haksiv Imchahi, according to you, Abaye, what are the Rabbanan going to do with these extra words, Imchahi? Ella, the answer is that Abaye is incorrect. We're not going to use Imchahi to exclude the Chiyuv Chatas Freshes of Iv, Ella, Ahu, this Pasuk of Imchahi, Mi Boile, Lichar Rabbi Shesha, Berei, Rav Idi, we need it for the different halacha that's taught by Rav Shisha Bar Rav Idi, which we're going to see later on at Daf Nun He. Rabbi Yehuda Nami Ahumi Boile Lech Rabbi Shesha Bereid Rav Idi. The Gemara says, but wait a minute, Rabbi Yehuda didn't reject the conclusion of Rav Shisha, so therefore he doesn't have the pasuk of Imchahi. We have to have another source to explain Rabbi Yehuda. Ela Amrav Acha Bereid Rav Ika Amar Kra Ervasa. There's an extra word in the pasuk, erva sa. Sa means har erva, which means there's only one erva here. Mishum erva achas atom chayv v'yatom chayv mishum shtei ervos, and that's going to exclude in the overlap case a chiyuv for eshes aviv. I see they're going to start davening, so whoever has to go, please go. I'm going to stay for another 2 or 3 minutes. In order to get to the punchline here, Elamei Atra, if you're going to say that Ervas is coming to exclude the possibility of being chai for two Ervos, is Ervas Kaloska Lo Segala, Eishes Binchi Lo Segala, Ervas Sa. And there the Mishnah says, and apparently even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, that he's chai of two. He's chai of number one for Kal, and he's also chai of four Eishes each. Is Hachinami Mishum Erva Achas Atamachayvi Atamachayvi Mishum Shtei Arayos Vasna. The Mishnah says Havol Kaloso Chayvelo Mishum Kaloso U Mishum Eishes Ish Bein Bechayv Beno Bein Leachar Misas Beno. So you see that there's an overlap here of Kaloso and Eishes Ish, and he's Chayv Shtayim Velo Polig Rabbi Yehuda. And the Mishnah doesn't record that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Again, we have the word Ervasa that we had in the case of Eishes Av. We have it also in the parasha of Kala, Ella, but rather Keva the Chad Gufahu, since there's one Guf, so there's no Guf in Mechulakim, is therefore Afal Gav the Trey Isurid into the Trey Shemos, but there's only one Guf, is therefore he's only Chayv one, is therefore Ksiv Ervasa, and therefore the Torah uses Erva in the singular, that you're only Chayv one because there's only one Guf. Is Hakanami, the same logic should apply to Kaloso, the Chad Gufahu, she's both his kala and she's an ashesish, is afagav de trei isuri ninu, the two shemos. Nevertheless, the Torah says, ksiv ervasa, there's one goof, and therefore you're only chayev one. So we still have no rational justification of Rabbi Yehuda and the distinction between the case of Imo and the case of Kaloso. Elama Rava. Rava offers an explanation based on Abaye, but to answer the objection that we had against Abaye, Kosov Rav Yehuda, Ervas Avicha, Zu, Eshes Avicha. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that when it says Ervas Avicha, it means Eshes Avicha. So we're not talking about a homosexual relationship between a son and his father, we're talking about Ervas Avicha, meaning the wife of his father. Umaisi le Bigzeres Shava, and he comes to this conclusion that you don't interpret Avicha as the sexuality of his father, as if to say there was a Mishkav Zachar situation, because he has Gzeres Shava. And this Gzeres Shava is going to teach us that Ervas Avicha means the wife of his father. Umashma Bein Eishes Aviv She'imo Bein Eishes Aviv She'eno Imo. In other words, he had a relationship between the wife of his father, whether that woman is his mother or it's a second marriage and it's a stepmother. Imo She'ena Eishes Aviv Minayin. How does he know that we're talking about Ervas Avicha, just the opposite. How do we know if the Torah only prohibits Ervas Aviv, which means Eishes Aviv? How do we know Imo, who's not Eishes Aviv? Talmud Lomar, Ervas Imcha Lo Segale Imcha He Mishum Imo Atomachayvo Ve'i Atomachayvo Mishum Eishes Aviv. So now we have a derivation to exclude Eishes Aviv in this extra pasuk of Ervas Imcha Lo Segale. And this is coming to teach me that in the case where there's an overlap, you're only going to be mechayevim for Imo and not for Eishes Aviv. Pli Neder, in the beginning of tomorrow's shiur, we'll go over that last derivation. We didn't have a chance to fit it all in. And that's how we'll start the shiur tomorrow. Pli Neder.